first, we normally take communion first, but,
Well, good morning, my name is Tom Dobbins, I will be the code enforcement special magistrate here today. I will approve the previous minutes, if we can, Madam Clerk, if we can swear in the officers.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Rich,
Good morning.
Morning, however you would like to run the agenda.
Thank you, good morning, my name is Charles Rich, I'm with the City of Ocala, I'm duly appointed code enforcement manager. I'm certified by the Florida Association Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels. I've been the code enforcement manager for more than 5 years, have 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting the case this morning. If it pleases the magistrate, we would start with case C-01-120894, City of Ocala versus Brent Versifer. Give me just a moment to get that situated. This is a case involving Officer Raymond Furring and Officer Dwayne Thomas at a location of 224 Northeast 11th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 82-151, Standard Housing Code adopted. Standard Housing Code sections 305.7 for windows, 305.10, 305.11 for exterior doors, 305.12 for exterior door frames, and 122-51 building permit required to do the repairs. The parcel ID is 26346-000-00. Legal services obtained on 5/14/2012 for the notice of violation and the return for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 5/9/2012 for the notice of violation. We would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. And the summary of findings that Officer Furring located the property observed properties in violation of the city's code and it is a dangerous structure. The structure's dangerous due to its dilapidated condition. An additional investigation revealed the demolition permit was pulled and Officer Furring reinspected after 6 months. Further investigation showed the respondent never picked up the permit and did not start any work. All attempts by Officer Furring and further by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful. The violations remain. Staff has a recommendation. I would bring your attention to the photographs at the end of the presentation. You see we have problems there with the roof and whatnot. And this was a case that was heavily disputed and ruled on by this magistrate. You gave them previous time to resolve the situation. It appears as though they've just basically abandoned the property at this point. We don't have any call in for inspections on the structure after the permit was obtained. Staff is prepared to answer any questions, and I would like to read staff recommendation into the order at this time, or into the presentation at this time.
Okay.
Staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 82-151 and 122-51, order them to, one, obtain a permit from the Building Department to remedy all violations of the Standard Housing Code as noted by the building code inspectors within 60 days, pay the cost of prosecution of the case, all assessed within 30 days, failing which a $50 per day fine will result in liens against the property after 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. There is someone here that would like to speak in behalf of this case, and call that person at this time if you don't have any questions.
Well, I want to ask one or two questions first. You said I made an order on this case previously. Do we have that order?
I don't know if it was you specifically or you and Chester. I think it was you. I can bring that order up. I don't know if it's in here or not.
Most everything's from 2012, and I wish I said my memory was that great anymore, but.
On page 36, was it the board or the magistrate? It was the board? Okay. I just remember that. It was a pretty
order imposing fine. I just didn't see an order.
This wasn't, that's a very old one. Hold on just a moment. Let me see where we've gone here. Well, let's try this again. There we go. Where do I have this messed up? Isn't this the one where the man and the woman were? Oh, okay. So intelligent previously. Northeast. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 previous cases. So this one. This one, because that's the lien for $7,244. It's giving me an error. I know, but you can't bring it up where he can see it. That was an order by Chester Trow. It was signed on 30 January 2012. Go to the order. And at that time, he was ordered to cut and clean up the property and to remove the abandoned and derelict vehicles. And he had obtained a permit to do repairs, so we let him go at that.
So the previous order didn't relate to the doors and windows and whatnot we're hearing today?
Well, the order did not. He was brought in for that, but like I said, like we said in our presentation, he obtained a permit to do repairs. He just never did any repairs.
Okay.
We're not bringing this back as a repeat violator.
Okay, so this is the first time we have the issue in front of us today for the doors, the windows.
I'm not testifying to that because I'd have to go through the other 10 cases here, which I'll do at this point to determine if this is the first time that we've done that. What I said that he came previously and he had obtained a permit, he did not act on that permit to do what he had explained he would do. Two cases in junk case in 12. Junk debris and derelict vehicles in Sacramento. Junk debris in 6. Junk debris in 7. In 11. Junk debris and derelict vehicles in 11. Yeah, so this will be the first presentation for not doing anything under the building permit. So we're requesting an additional permit be drawn for repairs to be made at this time.
Okay. All right. And
we do have someone that wanted to testify.
Okay, that's great. They can come forward. Good morning, sir. If you would state your name for the record, and then the clerk will swear you in.
My name is Kevin Murray.
You swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
And if you could state your address for the record.
224 Northeast 11th Place.
And see, we just like to establish standing.
Okay. Mr. Murray, what is your relationship to this property or this case here today?
The owner, Brent Beresford, is my business partner. Lives in D.C. So currently I have inventory at that property. The property is commercially zoned. It's M1. And it just needed a little backstory. Originally, we did automotive restoration. And when we bought the property in 2001, the intent was to take down the existing structure, put up a prefab building, and continue our restoration business. We had been kind of knee-jerking around with you guys for 7 or 8 years. Over the abandoned vehicles, and it depends on, you know, what you consider an abandoned vehicle, consider a vintage vehicle. But anyway, we closed the business down 3 years ago, and the vehicles have been removed both through us and through the city. At this point, we pulled a demolition permit. I believe it was a partial demolition permit because we were doing renovations on the back of the old house, converting what had been an addition back into the original back porch. And there's been additional compliance to try to bring the building up to code since then. There was a point of about 6 months through confusion. I pulled the permit.
Excuse me. If I can interject here, in order for him to speak on the owner's behalf, we would have to have an authorized letter in the case file. If he wants to speak to you as a friend of the owner, I would assume that would be up to your decision. But typically, to speak on behalf of the owner, we would have to require that authorization from the owner. We have not received anything from the owner in this case in Maryland. Hasn't had any contact with our office to resolve the issues that have been noted previously noted. We also have liens that are pending in this case. So I would just pin that on that prior to this testimony.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Yes, continue.
Well, I'm just trying to fill in any gray areas. I'm not that familiar with the process, not being a business owner or property owner, but we are under, we're having a crew currently, and they have it the last 7 or 8 months, that work on the weekends and have been bringing the building back up to code, or at least trying to address the violations that you have here. They installed a bunch of windows, and they're the photos you guys took are horrible. It's, you're not, they didn't show any of the work we've done. They're just showing like that one side that faces the street that the guys haven't gotten to yet. But if you send Raymond back out, I mean, I see him come by in the truck every once in a while. You know, he can walk around and you can see significant work has been done.
Okay. And so it's your testimony that there you've been supervising work at the structure?
I've been there and I've seen them do the work. I wouldn't say I've supervised because I don't really know what they're doing. I just know that, you know, they're working with Brent and he's telling them what needs to be done and they're following the list that they sent. And when I come back or when I do see progress, I mean, they're doing the right things. They're putting in windows and taking out the old wood and doing whatever building guys do.
Okay. Mr. Rich, is there currently a building permit pulled for this structure?
No, sir, there isn't. And I was just going to inquire from this respondent if he has a copy of a building permit that would be required to do the work that's being done in this place now, as he's indicated in his testimony.
Is there a difference between the building permit and the demolition permit?
Yeah, the demolition permit allows you to basically raise the structure and take it down to level. To level the structure. The building permit is necessary for you to be able to do the repairs and construction on the property to bring it back up to code. Those are two different permits. I don't know the difference in the fees. Mr. Rich could probably enlighten us on that. But they are two different issues. So my understanding is the city's here today because some work is being done on the house. Two, the house is not up to code, and so the city is requesting that you obtain a building permit and then to bring it up to code within 60 days, I think is what the city's asking for. So,
yes, sir. Well, to correct the standard housing violations.
Okay. The window, what is it, window dressing and the door?
It's not just window dressing. Now, you know, based upon his testimony, it's going to require inspections. The building official would be better apt to give him proper direction. But I'm sure they're going to require a plan, and they're going to require permits and what have you to do the work that's being done out there now. As we've indicated in our request, to have them obtain a permit, get the inspections completed, or face a fine.
Okay. Well, let me sort of ask a question here. I mean, the obtaining a permit is probably possible in the sense that he just has to go down and apply for one.
I don't believe so.
No?
This is a commercial structure. I believe they're going to require that he has a plan for the work that will be done. And
prior to them issuing a permit?
Yes.
Okay.
GC is a general contractor.
Yeah.
But he needs to get that information from the building department.
Okay. If it's a commercial structure, then the housing code wouldn't apply?
No, it does apply.
Okay. It's a commercial, it's zoned commercially, it's a residence, a double two-story house, built in 1908.
The standard housing code does apply to commercial structures as well. Apartment buildings, as well as
residents. Well, okay. Let's sort of back up. I understand it's zoned commercial. Is it a commercial structure?
Well, they were conducting commercial business out of that previously. Irregardless, for the work that's being conducted there, if it's over $100, it requires a permit. Now, I'm not specifically aware of what the conditions of that permit are going to be. It's my understanding previously that in order for them to issue a permit at this structure, they would require plans and perhaps a GC to do the work.
Plans, do you mean like architectural?
That would be something you'd have to discuss with the building official.
We don't have the building folks here today.
No, sir.
Where would I go?
Okay. Do we have an idea?
I don't believe that they would allow him to pull a permit on behalf of the
owner. I'm not saying he's the...
He just asked me. Unless he had a letter authorizing him to do so from the owner.
I'm pretty much just a conduit. I'm trying to get the information up to Brent so you can take action on it.
Sure. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. So we need to obtain a building permit.
And then, the cities here, because one, we're doing some work and we don't have a permit. And two, the city's here because it's saying we violated the code as to not having it up to code for the structure. So what, how is it not up, how is it not meeting the standard housing code currently?
Windows, exterior doors, and exterior door frames, and we've copied that code into your presentation. I believe, if not, we have it. On pages 34 and 35. Do you have that?
I think so.
Okay. I can read into the record if you'd like.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying to get clear on what the issues are. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Murray? Okay. All right. Mr. Murray, you are probably not going to be able to pull the actual permit yourself without working with the city building officials to get you proper authorization to do so. What I'm going to do is going to find the respondent guilty of violating the city code for section 122.51. I'm going to order them to obtain a building permit within 60 days. I'm going to find them in violation of violating City Code Section 305.7 or 305.
If it pleases the magistrate, the section would be 82.151, which adopts the other sections.
Okay, 82.151 specifically by a violation of failure to meet Section 305.7 related to windows, 305.11 related to exterior doors, and 305.12 related to exterior door frames. I will order them within 60 days to bring the windows and doors into compliance with the housing code, to pay the cost of prosecution in the case as assessed within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day, which results in a lien against the property after 90 days of non-payment, referred to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Did I miss any of the violations that the city has found?
No, sir.
Okay. So you need to get the windows and doors repaired, and you need to get a building permit, and if you're doing anything beyond the windows and doors, you'll have to work with the city in getting the right permits to do construction for anything else of the structure.
In that order, do I need a building permit?
You need a building permit first.
For the windows and doors?
I believe so, Mr.
Yes,
Rich.
Sir.
Yes.
You need I apologize. You did miss one, 305.10. Every window required for light and ventilation in a habitable room shall be capable of being easily opened and secured in a position by window hardware. So I'm assuming that if he puts new windows in,
then it will do that. But okay, well,
yeah,
3 o'clock. Okay. So you need to get a permit. It will, and you need to make sure the windows and doors are up to code. And then if you're going to do anything else on the structure, you need a permit for that as well.
It would be a blanket permit?
Well, and it might be.
That's what Raymond was saying when we asked, because I pulled the permit for what we're doing now, I guess, the demolition, and I'd asked him specifically what I needed to do, and I followed his suggestions, and that was, he said, well, yeah, that covers everything, we just, you know, figure out how much you owe us when it's done, and we come back out and re-inspect. I mean, kind of layman's term, so.
Okay, well, a demolition permit is different than a construction permit, so.
Yeah, I understand that.
So if you're gonna go bring it up to code, you gotta go to building permit to do that.
And you're saying that, Mr. Beresford's gonna be the one that needs to pull the permit, I'm not.
That's my experience.
Yeah, I mean, he can hire a general contractor who can do it, but you probably cannot pull it for him on the property since you're not a general contractor in Florida and you don't own the property.
No.
So he's gonna be, he'll have to pull a permit on it. Okay. There's some cost of prosecution he's gonna need to pay within the next 30 days. And my understanding is that there's a current, you said $7,000 lien on the property from the city?
There's a couple of liens, but the most expensive one was over $7,000.
So he probably needs to work with the city to sort of work out all these various liens for his prior violations on the property as well.
What do you know who to contact?
Mr. Rich, I believe they can contact your office.
Yes, sir.
To try and resolve those. They can put him on a payment plan or something along that line. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. That would bring us to the bottom of page 4 of the docket. We have additional representation here this morning for CLN 130414, the City of Ocala, and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Ron K. Butler, a location of 450 Southwest Broadway Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82-182, dangerous building, declared a nuisance abatement required. Section 122-51, building permit required. The parcel ID is 2851-084-005. Legal service was obtained on 4/24/2013 for the notice of violation. The certified mail was returned for the notice of hearing, and we posted the property on 8/23/2013 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the structural evaluation, which scored 50 points and dilapidated by the building official, and we would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to citizens' complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to its dilapidated condition, as you can see evidenced by the photograph of a fairly extensive fire that occurred there. Additionally, Officer Thomas requested a structural evaluation. Inspector David Thompson responded, completing the inspection, which resulted in a score of 50 points and dilapidated, requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida building code regulations. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful and the violations remain. Staff has a recommendation. If you'd like, I could read that into the record at this time.
Okay.
The staff recommendation being find the respondent guilty of violating city code sections 82-181 and 182 and sections 122-51, order him to 1, respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring residents up to all current Florida building code regulations within 180 days, or obtained a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris be completed within 60 days, and to pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day of the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I will call Officer Thomas up at this time to present any additional information and to answer any questions that you may have. I guess there was some question about whether or not a permit was pulled or not.
When I first arrived to the property on the initial complaint, I discovered that the house was burned out. It wasn't secured at the time. Mr. Butler did work with me at the beginning to bring it into compliance, and presented a permit at the time, which I thought was a valid permit. Come to find out through further investigation that it was not a valid permit for that address. It was posted on the front of the building displaying that it was valid. When I got a further complaint from the complainant about the property, wanting to know the outcome, I went back to the property and pursued the case further. That's when I required the structural to be done.
Okay. And do we have someone here?
Yes.
Who wants to speak up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
James Strickland.
You swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
And now if you could state your name and address for the record.
James Strickland, 1919 Northwest 100th Street, Ocala, 34475.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Strickland.
Good morning.
And Mr. Rich, do we have someone else here as well?
This is the owner.
This is Mr. Butler.
Okay, Mr. Butler, if you come forward and get sworn in as well.
You swear affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
yes.
truth? And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Ron Butler, 2073 Southwest 37th Street Road.
Okay. All right, Mr. Strickland and Mr. Butler, what would you like me to know about this property?
Well, the first thing, I don't understand. I heard that my permit wasn't valid. What is that about?
The permit that was pulled under an address on 14th Street, not the address of this property.
There's confusion as far as the address for the Broadway. It doesn't list it on Broadway. It's listed on 14th, and that's where the problem is. I pulled a roofing permit on it to pull the roof. We went ahead and pulled the roof off of it so that we could determine the amount of, burn problems that he's got up underneath there. We're in the process of getting it cleaned up. So everything's nice and clean, and I'm trying to get a permit for it. I'm also a licensed building contractor, and in the process of doing that, we got a stop work order on it, which doesn't permit us to do any work. And the problem I'm having is that I've hired Mr. James Brady, the engineer, to engineer it for us so that we can get it structurally sound, but the problem that I'm having is we don't have enough information. I've got to go inside, pull some sheetrock down from the ceiling so that I can provide him with the necessary information that he needs to design the repair that's going to be necessary. The same circumstance that I'm having on the floor is where we've got some, looks like might be some damage in the floor, the structure of the foundation. We're not able to investigate that enough to provide Mr. Brady with the information he needs to provide us with the engineering necessary for me to obtain a building permit. So in the process of moving this job forward, the stop work order went into effect, and that stopped me from being able to provide any kind of the information. I thought that Mr. Brady would be able to do it. He thought he was going to be able to, and he just needs a little bit more information. We don't know how extensive the burn damage is. You just can't tell. It's not that bad, but it's not that good. We don't know. And so I'm trying to seek out if we can get the schedule of these engineers. They're 4 to 6 weeks out, and I'm having a heck of a time just meeting and trying to coordinate getting this done. And if I could get 60 days, I could definitely have the engineering in place, and that'd be for Mr. Brady. And I have the roof, debris, everything has been cleaned up on the property. The pictures there are current as how the property is. There's nothing that's loose to fly around. All the debris has been picked up. So that's what I'm trying to seek would be a 60-day extension just to get the engineering, and I can get the building permit and we can get it fixed up. It really is not that bad. From a building contractor's perspective. To the homeowner, it's burnt. But to me, it's just it's not that big a deal. And we can do it.
If it pleases the magistrate, the city certainly has no objection to extending and amending our order for that to occur. And we think it's in the best interest for all parties involved. I think that would make it defensible for the city if someone was to call and complain and want to know what the status of the case is and whatnot, we'd be able to say that, you know, we have an order, we've extended the time for them to get the work done that they needed to get done to make the proper decision.
Okay, well, help me out here. Why was a stop order issued on the property?
I'm assuming that the stop order was issued because they felt that there was no proper permit. I'm not aware of the address confusion or whatnot. There may actually be a proper permit if we accept the testimony. We follow the parcel IDs. We don't actually follow the number on the wall or whatnot, if you will. So as we follow the parcel IDs, it comes up to 450 Southwest Broadway Street. So if there's confusion in that regard, then let's say that there is a valid permit there, we would be prepared to drop 22-151 and proceed with the other two to get an order.
Well, the
are you looking at the picture?
Well, that's for.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Okay, so the city wants to drop the violation as to.
Well, I would say that if we were to accept that, when you blow up the picture of the building permit, it says 5/20/2013, but it has a different parcel ID and a different address. So I don't know where we go with that. When we look at the property in the records for the permit search, 450 comes up without a permit. And what was the other address? Let me see if there's any other address that's listed. 435 Southwest 14. And we do show a roofing permit, I guess it is, for that property issued on. We show a different property with a different parcel ID for issued on 5/30 of 2013, which would expire in November. But it just, if they're indicating to us that there's some mix-up in the address, we need to get that straightened out with the building department.
That property extends from Broadway to Fort King. It goes from one block to the other.
And it has, it just, it's different parcel IDs. So from our perspective, there's not a valid permit pulled. But I think that granting the additional time here would be beneficial. We could straighten out the issue with the permit and determine whether or not it was issued for that property or another property. And we could also give them time to get the engineering done that they want to do to get work completed or to make a decision.
Paul.
There's not another property in that area that I would be permitting. That was definitely the property that I meant to permit, and I would have no problem going down to the building permit office and rectifying this situation here as far as the address, parcel IDs, make sure that everything is all on the same page.
Well, who owns parcel? Is it 28510830003? I don't know how many properties Mr. Butler owns, but I mean.
May I?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I've been in Ocala for 14 years, and I've made a difference in that community as a whole. But I have someone in that community that made me a low ball offer on that property and told me they were going to own that property. And Now, maybe this is where these complaints are coming from, but that house I put a lot of love in, and that transfers into time and money. Now, since the recession has hit, I don't have the time or the money. I'm working day and night now. But the city, through the years, has always been able to pick up the phone and just call me and tell me when there's an issue, when there's a drug-infested community all around me, and I've had a house with a broken window. They used to pick up the phone and just call me and say, fix your broken window. I don't know how or when that's changed. So when this issue came up, I don't know why they just didn't call me. Now, the only reason why I didn't rush down here was because Mr. Gardner told me that he was going to handle this, and this is why I hired him. So I'd like to have that same relationship that I used to have.
Well, Mr. Rutler, my question is, do we own something at 435 Southwest Fort King Street? And then I guess the other question, and then you said this property, Mr. Rich, is 450 Broadway. I mean, my question, here's what I want to know is, do we own something on the Broadway and do we own something on Fort King?
I own several properties on
Fort King.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if we can find out what parcel ID, who's the owner of the parcel ID it was pulled for, and who's the owner?
It's blocked on the property appraiser's office. We cannot pull that up right now. We would have to send a note to them to...
Sure, I understand.
But I do own 435 Southwest Fort King.
Okay.
And who? 436, and 437, and 433.
Okay.
I think our problem in this particular situation is we've been working on this since March of this year. And so by this time, it's been 6 months. We're just trying to obtain an order to make sure that we can get something resolved and answer to the people who complained to us, who may be this individual.
Can I know?
I don't know who it is, and we don't have it in the case record, which we do not require them to tell us who they are. People can make a complaint anywhere in the city on any property.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
but my record should speak for itself. I've always been conforming. Even when I disagree, I conform.
And I don't think we're attaching any jeopardy by adopting our staff recommendation. It seems as though they want to bring it into compliance. They're asking for additional time. The city's willing to acquiesce to additional time. I think we're
sure.
All right.
Okay, so you searched the parcel ID number. Can you search the 450 Southwest Broadway Street?
We have, and we've included that in your case file.
No, for the property appraiser's record?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What page is that?
Oh, it's still blocking. You have the request in there? Okay. We normally include that in here. So we did not receive it back from the county appraiser's office yet. 4613.
Five. 450 Southwest Broadway. Okay.
So
it's owned by Ron
page,
Butler, trustee. Okay.
Looks like page 35. It's not what it normally looks like because we requested it from the appraiser's office.
I understand. Okay.
It does show his name and it does show the parcel ID.
Okay. Can someone enter for me 435? What is it? 435 Fort King?
That's the one that came up blocked.
Is that the one that's blocked?
We would have to request that.
Okay.
Mr. Strickland, it's your testimony that you pulled a building permit for this structure?
Roofing.
A roofing permit for this structure?
We pulled a roofing permit first.
Okay. And that's what we got a stop work order on?
I don't think we got a stop work order on the roofing. I think it's just a stop work order on the house. Right?
Okay. So has any permit been pulled? Well, I guess I'm confused.
He's waiting to get, I guess they're requiring you to get engineering on floor and ceiling before they'll issue a permit.
Yes, I've got to get, I need to obtain more information from the structure to provide it to my engineer, Mr. Brady, in order for him to engineer it to be structurally sound, because there has been compromise due to the fire. And okay. With the stop work order on there,
I guess that's my problem. Why was the stop order? I mean, if we're going in and
stop work order was issued not to do any construction, he can still go in and get his information that he needs.
Okay, but we kind of, it's involved in construction when we go in there to take the siding off the wall, to pull the sheetrock down from the ceiling. So that's where I'm, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. On the state license, I pulled it for the roofing permit to get that handle on it, and then on my building side of it, I couldn't do that until I was able to obtain enough information to get the building permit. And my GPS is confused on that property as well, so there's a lot of confusion with that property and the address that goes with it, but I would definitely take my roofing permit and the building permit that I want to obtain, make sure that all the parcel ID numbers coincide with one another, and straighten that entire mess up with the property appraisers, because I think that that's where a little bit of the muddy water is coming from, because the property does extend from one road to the other. Whether it's First Street, Fort King Street, or Broadway Street, this is where the confusion is coming in as far as the actual property location.
All right, well, here's where I'm inclined to go, and everybody tells me where there's an objection here. I am inclined to find a violation as to 82-182, which is a dangerous building declared a nuisance, okay? I mean, I think everybody will agree that this has been in some problem structure since March. Mr. Butler, I mean, the photographs here show it burned out from March.
Let's see where the danger is. What is the danger that's involved in the structure?
Well, a structure being burned out and whatnot, it's pretty clearly identified in the code as a dangerous structure. If you read the code for dangerous structure,
the bearing walls are still
it covers it.
The picture you show is only that the siding has been burned. Was the most part. The fire was on the outside of the house. They had a washer and dryer set up on the outside of the house. So that's what happened, is that the fire went up the siding and it burned the siding. The bearing walls on each end of the house that support the rafters, trusses, that is still intact and still structurally sound. But as far as an engineer is concerned, he must be able to be 100% showing proof that that is what the condition is, and the only way we can do that would be to pull the siding off and to pull the sheetrock off from the inside, which there's some kitchen cabinets that are in there that will have to be pulled away from the walls. There will be some construction that actually needs to happen in order for that to be able to provide him with the information he needs in order to give me the engineering I need. He's got to stamp it. It's an old house. It's going to require engineering. But as far as being a danger, it is not a danger. It's ugly, but it's not a danger.
If you look at the definition for dangerous structure, 82-181, combine that with the code 82-182, this structure clearly falls within the definition and the charge of 181 and 182. And by the way, the city could require demolition of the structure based upon that. We're trying to give you more time.
I love it.
And
I don't
want to have a discussion about whether or not
I'm just trying to
it doesn't
hold
fit the
code.
It
does
fit the code.
Is what I'm trying to. So I think this needs some more time so I can get an engineer. I'm going to obtain the building permit, and we can have this taken care of in a timely fashion.
We're not asking for any fine, but if you get it done in the extended period of time that we're offering you.
I thought that's what was happening there.
Okay. Mr. Rich, has someone gone in and examined the structural integrity of this building?
As indicated in our previous testimony, I believe it's on page 6, we do have a structural evaluation conducted on the property. Sorry, page 14.
Mr. Strickland, when were you hired to start to remedy this property?
It's back where the written permit was obtained.
So, May. Okay. When did can someone tell me when the fire occurred on the property?
We started the case on March 13th. It would have been prior to that. That's the best I can offer for you.
Does someone tell me when the stop work order went on the property?
appears to be on 822 or thereabouts.
Is Mr. Thompson here?
David Thompson?
No, yes, sir. Okay. Here's what I'm inclined to do, guys. Okay, I'm inclined to find a violation of the dangerous building. Okay, it's been like this for 4 or 5 months now. Okay, the city code is for 30 days. I am going to give you 60 days. We don't have a building permit. 60 days to straighten out the building permit issue running around on it. Okay, I'm not going to find you guilty of not having a building permit. I think that's sort of all over the board as far as that goes. And then to bring it up to Florida Building Code regulations within 180 days, okay? Failing which, a fine of $25 per day in the city to do the work. Utilizing all means required with all the costs assessed and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Okay, I'm not going to assess any fine or cost today on you. Go straighten out this address problem with the building permit or whatnot on the whole thing. And then go ahead and bring it up to code. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And I would object to the cost of prosecution not being assessed. Chapter 162.07 clearly states that the city shall recover costs as assessed in the case.
So the city's insisting upon the cost.
The city is consistently requesting that cost shall be assessed when there's a finding and we've proved our case.
Okay.
Consistently between the board and the magistrate, we have consistently in every case recovered the city's cost of prosecution, except in this situation. And the city would respectfully request that the law be applied equally throughout the magistrate's decisions. However, the city will abide by the decision of the magistrate.
What are the costs of prosecution?
Costs of prosecution are listed on page page 44.
Mr. Butler, do you object to paying the cost?
I do, but when you tell me that my place could be demolished, I mean, what choice do I have? I mean, if my contractor, if I was told I had to hire a contractor, and I did, and my contractor went down and pulled a permit based upon the information that he was given by the building department, and it turns out somehow or another the parcel codes or something is all mixed up, and we didn't know we had the wrong information, what do? We're doing what we're supposed to do, and if somebody had just called me, we could have rectified it, but here we are now. Again, I always comply.
Officer Thomas, and I think.
I met Officer Thomas at the job site and gave him my card and told him, you know, I'm a phone call away. And I am a phone call away. Everybody in the city knows me.
I think that we work diligently to treat people equitably and amicably within all of our contacts. We sent out a nice letter on March 18th to the homeowner, which is on page, excuse me. We started the whole case off with a letter that had no jeopardy and requested him to take action that on March 18th. We explained on that, which is on page 5 of your presentation, the violations that were noted by the officer. At that time, it did not include the request for the permit, just that he take care of the property. When nothing was done at that time, it went to a notice of violation issued later on in the case because there was a couple issued. Mr. Butler certainly could have contacted our office on 412 when the notice of violation arrived, could have contacted our office on March 18th when the NICE letter went out for request for action. That didn't occur. Having said that, here we are in September, the end of September, and we still don't have any action. I think the city has proven the case that we do require a permit on this parcel ID and that we do require that a remedy be made in the house that's been burned out since at least March 18th when it was noted by the city. He might know when the actual fire occurred. That has not been relayed to us, and I don't have a copy of the fire report. I can obtain that, though, and I will in the future. However, we can't stop our work. We have to send him notice in the mail. That is what's required by state law. Mr. Butler owns many properties in the city. It is unlikely that we are going to pick the phone up and call him every time we have a problem. Unfortunately, that just the system is not equipped to give him a phone call whenever we have a problem on his property. I don't wish to belabor, you know, what can or can't be done. I just say that under the law, we're required to send him notification. We have complied with all of those requirements. We've presented the case, and that's where we stand at this point. Officer Thomas, I wouldn't require him to call Mr. Butler and ask him to take care of the property when we're required to send him notification by mail. Now, if he wants to do that, or if Mr. Butler wants us to call him every time we have an issue, we can try to accommodate that, but we still have to send notice in the mail and then give him the opportunity to take action. That's the way the process is outlined in state law, and those are the requirements that are made of us under the code and law.
If I may, I did come up here when I got those letters, or I went over to their office.
Interesting.
I did come up there. I was in double boots at the time. I tore both of my Achilles. The last part, during the months of December or November, December, January, I had some health challenges, but the first year I was in double boots. I did come up to the office a couple of times because I had a problem with another property where they wanted me to board up the carport, and I did so. But I did come up there. The people I needed to talk to wasn't there. Then I found out that I need to get a contractor because I went over and I boarded up the property.
I noticed that. It's very secure. It's all boarded up.
But I couldn't do it, but I had to hire somebody to do it. Then I found out that I had to have a contractor. I did try to get contractors, but no one wanted to deal with the property. There were some issues with whether it was in the county or the city. And so I did finally meet with Mr. Gardner. I met with him a couple of times.
Floodplain. There's a lot of things going on with that property.
But let me just say, I did. And finally, when he and I came to terms, that's when I got together and he pulled the permit. So that did, whenever the letter did come, I did respond. I came up myself, and I had on boots and, double boots. So I was struggling, but I did handle my response. I didn't respond in writing or anything, but I did come to the office. I did come.
And I haven't gone past my 6 months, and the property has been cleaned up, and we have moved the construction forward on the job. Now that we have a stop on it, that I wasn't able to get the information needed for a building permit, I would be standing here with a building permit presenting that to you with a set of plans showing you exactly what we're going to do with the time frame for completion.
And I also realize that the city has invested a lot of money in the Broadway property, but I probably wouldn't be here at all if it weren't for somebody trying to give me $6,000 for that property. And they're trying to make me sell it to them. I'm not going to sell it to them. I am going to fix the property up. Okay. And I've done good measure. I know to you guys right now, it doesn't look like it. Okay, I get that, but.
Okay. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to award the city $40 in cost for the cost of prosecution of this case. And I'm going to give you 60 days to go straighten out the building permit issues along with there, and 180 days to get everything repaired. I'm not going to find you guilty of, I'm going to only find you guilty of the dangerous building structure. It was clearly burned in March. You pulled a permit in May.
we're in September. I appreciate, Mr. Butler, that you have been moving forward on it. I understand the issues of engineers and whatnot in it, but that's where I'm going to go with it here. If you don't get a building permit sorted out in 60 days, which should give you
plenty of time
to do it, or bring it up to code in 180 days, then 25 days, a $25 lien a day, $25 fine per day will start to attach to the property. Okay? Thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Thank you.
And you have 60 days to pay the $40 in costs, Mr. Butler.
Who do I pay it to?
Do they go to code enforcement, Mr. Rich?
Yes.
Code enforcement. Thank you.
That'll bring us to a parking case, PRK 130428. The city would respectfully request an order to dismiss this charge.
Okay, I'm sorry, which one?
PRK 130428.
Okay, we'll dismiss it.
Thank you. That'll bring us to page 2 of the docket, CUN 1382. City will be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator per Chapter 162. The City of Ocala and Officer Raymond Furring and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Carl Forbes. Wait a minute, I'm on the wrong one. Give me just a second here to straighten that out. The City of Ocala versus City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Estrada Estula Arula. I can't pronounce that. A location to 818 Northeast 13th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. We would be proceeding this case as a repeat violator. Violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, no other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 26080-005-00. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 8-5-2013. We have included the copy of the findings of fact and affidavit of partial compliance in the first case. The case summary of findings are that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2012, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed that respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions the magistrate may have, and the staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator, per Chapter 16204 of Florida Statutes, and order them to cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and lien, all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Okay, Officer Kennedy, is this property overgrown as in the photographs?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then I'll find the respondent guilty and adopt the city's recommendation.
I'd like to point out for the record there was no representation by the respondent here this morning. That'll bring us to page 3 of the docket, CON 13-1390, the City of Ocala, Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Res Florida 5 LLC, a location of 150 Northeast 12th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 28310-005-00. Legal posting, all certified mail has been returned. Legal posting was accomplished on 8-1-2013 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. We have included as additional correspondence in this case a copy of the SunBiz report and the summary of findings of Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Kennedy revealed that residents have not taken corrective action on the violation. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of the presentation of the current condition of the property at the location, and Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions you may have. Staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to cut and clean up their property, removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day in the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Kennedy is prepared to answer any questions that you may have at this time. Staff would report that we do not have representation here on this case either this morning.
Okay, so looking at the photos here, this is that empty lot. Where's this empty lot located? I think I drive past it all the time.
There is a map on page 2 of your presentation.
This is the one just up from the elementary school, isn't it? Just before the boulevard?
Just behind, it's on East Silver Springs Boulevard.
No, on 12th there.
8th Avenue, yeah.
Okay. So it was overgrown. When did it start being overgrown? When did we first contact this here? Because it looks cut.
Yes. Officer Kennedy has informed me that they did cut it, a day or two before the hearing here? And called for reinspection. Yeah, a couple of days before the hearing here that they did cut it. Is that all been cut in accordance with the code now? So it is brought into compliance, so we won't have to go out there and cut it. We are still attempting to obtain an order, though, because we've had 12 previous cases.
Okay, so wait, this is they've continuously, you send them a letter, they've ignored the letter, you have to bring them to a case here?
Or the fact that we have to send them a letter continually.
Okay.
It should be their responsibility to cut and take care and maintain their property without the city having to send them a letter repeatedly to do it. So we are trying to obtain an order at this point.
Okay. And they didn't comply by the 13th of August, is that correct?
The situation is this. They wait until they get a letter from us to do something about it. So we're trying to get a guilty order so next time it happens we can bring it back. We can go straight to notice a hearing.
Oh, okay, but they didn't cut it before the 13th of August. You sent them a notice of violation on the 1st of August saying cut it by the 13th of August.
It looks like they cut it on 9/23 according to the pictures.
Okay, well, I'm just...
That's when I took that picture.
You had to go to a notice of hearing, though.
Yes.
Right, okay. So, all right.
Actually, I did both, notice of violation and notice of hearing
right.
as shown in the picture.
Right. Right, okay. I'm just trying to follow... Well... Because the picture on August 15th shows it cut.
They did take care of it, but we wanted to bring them to get an order of guilt so that we can go straight to notice a hearing next time.
Did they call you for a reinspection?
No.
Have they had any contact with you in this case?
They have called when they get the notices. There's another one similar.
But they never called you for a reinspection?
No. It is actually becoming overgrown again.
I think that you can look at the August 15th picture. You can still see that there's overgrowth on the property in the middle section there. And then on 9/23, that's resolved as well. I would say that on 9, as you were indicated on 8/15, that is not in compliance.
The 8/15 is not in compliance.
No, if you blow the picture up by hitting the plus on the top middle section, you can see that there's still plenty of grass there that's over 12 inches in length.
So it looks like what they just did is, well, it's massively overgrown on the first.
Yes.
I don't even know how that stuff is still there, actually. I mean, if they went and cut it.
Say in compliance with 162.12 that the violation is corrected and reoccurs or the violation is not corrected by the time specified for the correction, the case may be presented before the Code Enforcement Board even if the violation has been corrected prior to the hearing.
And this has been a continuous problem with these folks?
Yes, it has.
Okay. All right. I'll find them guilty. But it's, we think it's in compliance now, right?
I'm sorry?
We think it's in compliance.
As of 9/23, we would agree to that.
Okay, so I'm going to just find them guilty of violating City Code Section 3495.
That'll bring us to page 4 of the docket, CON 13-1034. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus and Raymond Furring and Dwayne Thomas versus Carl Forbes. Maritza Pender and Eddie Pender, a location of the 1700 block of Northwest 4th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495. Weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2260-106-001. All certified mail has been returned. The property was posted on 8/7/2013 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. The case summary is that officers Raymond Furring located the property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation by Officer Furring and then further by Officer Thomas revealed the residents have not taken corrective action to act on the violation. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. Staff has included photographs at the end of the presentation for you, and the staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, and pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days. failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out for the record that there is no representation by the respondent concerning this case today, and staff would respectfully request a finding of guilt. Officer Thomas, prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this case.
The properties as it appears in the pictures here?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I'll find them guilty and adopt the city's recommendation.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, on the docket today, CUN 13-1378. The case of the city of Ocala, Officer Raymond Furring and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Larry and Brenda Sherrod, a location of 124 Northwest 17th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. And a violation of section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 25835-000-00. All certified mail has been returned, and we posted the property on 8-5-2013 for the notice of violation, and 8-22-2013 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the properties in violation of the city's code, as previously stated. Additional investigation revealed that the structure is dangerous due to its insecure condition and the possibility of transit neighborhood children activity on the property. This property is contributing to the slum, blight, and deterioration of this neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful. The violation remains. I would point out for the record that there is no respondent present to discuss this case with the city today or the magistrate, and the staff recommendation be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, 82181, and 82182. Order them to 1. Cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris. 2. Secure the residence building as required to prevent unauthorized entry. And 3. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day per violation, the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff's prepared to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Okay. Is the property in the condition of the photographs here?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. How's the property not secure?
If you look at the rear structure, looks like a picture.
The shed?
It looks like that it was actually some type of game room, not a living quarters of some kind. That sliding glass door is open on the left side, and the front of the structure is open. The front porch is wide open. They've been camping on the front porch as well as the house. I met a neighbor there at one point who was supposed to correct the violation, and we walked to the front of the house, and I could testify that the front door was wide open.
Do we know if anybody's living there?
There is no evidence of someone that's occupied it legally.
Okay. And that rear structure is attached to the house?
It's not. It's a separate structure.
Okay.
On the same parcel.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's not just a shed back there. That's an actual...
Yeah, it's some like a game room or something like that.
Okay. And the front door has remained to be open?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll find them in violation and adopt the city's recommendation.
That'll bring us back to the parking hearings. At the bottom of page 5 of the docket, PRK 0413. This person has entered a plea of not guilty and requested a hearing. They've outlined their response on page 2 to you. When you're finished with that, I'll present.
in the city's findings.
Okay, what is this?
The city would report that this is the third violation from this person. We dismissed the first citation because she is actually allowed to park there if she would display her parking permit. When she came up to our office, she had earned two more citations. The city's willing to dismiss the second citation. The third citation the city is not willing to dismiss and believes that the respondent should pay the fine as outlined on the citation of $25 for failing to display her parking permit and continually parking in the restricted parking area as indicated in the photographs.
So she's bit the apple twice and you guys have dismissed the prior two times.
We dismissed the first one. We're willing to dismiss the second one that's on this request and enforce the third.
Oh, this is two requests?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed that. Oh, I see. There's a 1-4 and then there's a 9-1. Okay. So the city is looking for its cost of prosecution for $82.75.
Yes, sir.
Plus a fine.
The cost of the violation.
Plus a fine of
$25.
$25. The first one was a rainy day.
I believe that was number two, right?
That's number two. Did she write anything about the third one?
No, sir.
She just...
Or do I have that backwards? The third one was a rainy day.
She said both days were rainy days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm
both days were rainy days.
Both
okay.
Days were rainy days, and therefore she couldn't display her permit in the window.
Okay. What I'm going to do is... unless you tell me I've gone wrong, I'm sorry, I'm new to the parking stuff here, is find her guilty, assess the cost of prosecution, and fine her.
I would say not guilty for citation two.
Not guilty for citation
and
two.
And guilty for citation three.
And guilty for citation three. Well, are the costs three. For both, or the costs only for the third?
Just the single one. It's pretty similar to what the costs are for a ticket at the courthouse. It's about $85, I think.
Right, okay. So, no, I just want to make sure. Okay, so I'm going to find her guilty of number three, assess the cost of $82.75, and assess her a fine of $7.25.
Okay. That'll bring us to page 6 of the docket.
So that'll put the total up to $90.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready.
Sure, I'm sorry. Which one? Okay. I'm
ready. PRK 130414.
Okay.
The City of Ocala versus Tim Peter. I'm going to do the best I can. Chiquella.
Okay.
The city would support dismissal of the citation.
You want to dismiss the citation?
Yes. The city would respectfully request an order to dismiss the citation.
Okay. We'll dismiss it.
That'll bring us to PRK
130415. In this case, the city would respectfully request to dismiss this citation.
Okay. I'll dismiss that.
That'll bring us to the bottom of the page because we've already taken care of PRK 0428. So PRK 130429. The city would respectfully request to dismiss this citation.
Okay, we'll dismiss that one.
That'll bring us to page 7 of the docket. Under old business, and we would like to respectfully request a motion to accept the cases listed on that docket as a consent agenda item for non-compliance of the previous board order, and request an order that code enforcement proceed with the orders of the magistrate and the code board, as indicated in the cases. I can indicate to the magistrate that each of these cases are non-compliant. We have an affidavit of non-compliance in each case.
Okay, so adopted.
Having said that, the city would respectfully request a motion to accept all testimony, evidence, and presentations into the record.
I will do that.
And city rests.
Okay. Going back to case 131390, that's that field there. When we find them guilty, can we put in the order, we find them guilty as they were in violation and did not bring the same into compliance by the date requested inside of that there? And
that would be the finding.
That would be finding,
yes,
and so that will be the order that they did not bring it into compliance by the date required.
Which is consistent with Florida law.
Right, and then can we send them some sort of notice that it's Florida? Can't cut it every 6 weeks, and that won't work.
I think that Officer Kennedy's had that discussion with them that, you know, you have to cut it. And we've had this discussion with many people, not just
them. I understand.
But you have to cut it as it's required. And when we get a lot of rain, you might have to cut it once a week. We have had that discussion with many people. But this one is clearly repeat in nature. And clearly, we have to send them a notice before they do anything. So.
Sure, certainly. I understand that. But
we will work with them to ensure that they understand that sometimes it may have to be cut more than once a month.
Right, I understand. I drive by that all the time, so it ebbs and flows, but something along that line for that one. Okay, that's great. It would be of some assistance to me as a magistrate if you're wanting structures demolished or torn down or whatnot, that whoever does the structural inspection available for questioning on that?
Sometimes we are able to provide them, but they submit their report and that's what everybody else goes off of. I could try to ask them if they can make themselves available in the future when we have a structural.
When I have a contested matter, it's of some assistance to be able to ask them some questions.
Yeah, sometimes we don't know it's going to be contested until.
I understand.
It's hard for us to get one to sit up here. There are two inspectors short this week. One inspector's wife had heart problems and she's been in the hospital, and the other inspector's been out due to illness. So they are extremely, and they only have four now, down from eight. So it's difficult, but we'll try certainly to accommodate you in that request.
You know, just because when you start to demolish somebody's property or ordering them to demolish it or do something for that, if it becomes a contested matter, you know, it's a taking of somebody's property. So I'm very hesitant to do that in a contested sort of matter. So, and I understand the limitations, and sometimes that might just not be able to happen, and go as best we can with it.
We'll work with you as best as we can.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.